Welcome back to Through the Word. This is Peyton Jones, your host, and today we're in Deuteronomy chapter 15. Little quiz, you know what chapter comes after 14? 15. Today on Through the Word, we'll be in that chapter and continue what we discussed yesterday, because as we've discussed before, today comes after yesterday. Yesterday, Moses was instructing the children of Israel to set money apart for a rainy day to use for the worship of God. And in chapter 15, he introduces the radical concept of the Sabbath year. The Sabbath year, by the way, was the seventh year. It was the year of rest where they were supposed to leave an entire year not tilling the ground, not harvesting it, not sowing it, but to leave the ground to rest. Now, modern horticultural and agricultural practices tell us that this is actually hugely profitable for the land. That's why people rotate crops in agricultural societies. Okay, it's time for a pop quiz. When the people of Israel go into exile for not listening to the book of Deuteronomy later on in their history, does anybody in the class know how many years they actually went into exile for? Okay, this is a recording, so you're not going to tell me, but it was 70 years. Does anybody know why it was 70 years? Well, God tells them later, he's calculated that number based on the number of Sabbath years they didn't keep. Guess how many they didn't keep? 70. That's right, not a single one. In 490 years, they had seven cycles of 70 years. And that's where Daniel's 77s come in. Okay, did I fry your brain yet? For those of you that have already studied these other books, pieces are starting to slot into place. Daniel says that in 490 years, the people of Israel should have observed 70 Sabbath years. And because they didn't, God says, I'm taking those 70 years back. You're going to be in captivity under the Babylonians for 70 years. And then once you've let the land rest 70 years, I'll bring you back into it. So this chapter may have more relevance later than you think. But it's kind of cool to think that the people of Israel never, ever obeyed this amazing blessing of a command to their own detriment. And it reminds us how often we do the same. When God tells us to do things like tithe your money, as he did in the last chapter, and we decide not to listen, statistics tell us that it's really we ourselves who are being robbed. That's because statistically, we see that people who actually set aside 10% of their income know how to budget their finances, and they have far less debt. They're taught not to live to beyond their means or to the extent and boundaries of their means, but rather they're taught to be frugal. So usually when God gives a command, there's a blessing inherent in it. But we see all too often that Israel's history is also our history. We ignore God's commands to our own detriment. And that's simply because we don't believe very often that God really does love us and really does want the best for us. You see, this whole thing is faith. It's trust. And there's a God telling Israel and a God telling us what we ought to do. And it's kind of like your parents. You can throw it off and say, oh, mom, dad, you don't understand. But oftentimes they do. But the sad thing about youth is that you don't usually figure it out till you're much older and as wise as mom and dad. There was another thing that happened during the Sabbath year, and that was not only that the land rested, but everybody's debt was forgiven. And in verse 12 to 18, Moses tells them it's not just debts that were to be canceled, but also servants who were working off their debts because they couldn't pay were to be freed. Listen to the amazing thing that happens during the Sabbath year. If your brother, a Hebrew man or Hebrew woman, is sold to you, he shall serve you 6 years, and in the seventh year, you shall let him go free from you. And when you let him go free from you, you shall not let him go empty-handed. You shall furnish him liberally out of your flock, out of your threshing floor, and out of your winepress. As the Lord your God has blessed you, you shall give to him. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I commanded you to this day. But if he says to you, I don't want to go out from you, because he loves you in your household, since he's well off with you, then you shall take an awl and put it through his ear into the door, and he will be your slave forever. And to your female slave, you shall do the same. It shall not seem hard to you when you let him go free from you, for at half the cost of a hired worker, he has served you 6 years. So the Lord your God will bless you in all you do. This is a beautiful picture known as the bondservant. The bondservant was a servant that decided that they didn't want to go free, but rather stay in that household, become a part of the family, and serve them for life. This was not a renewal of another 7-year contract. This was actually, I love being in this house so much, I'll be here for life. And in the ceremony, you would take an awl or a piece of wood and you would literally pierce the ear and nail it to the door. Although it was symbolic, that pierced ear would show that this person made a choice to serve you forever. When David writes the Psalms years later, he says to God, I am your bondservant. And the way he says it is, you have borne my ear, or you have opened my ear. This was the term that Paul would take up when he says, Paul, a bondservant of God. That was Paul's way of saying, I'm not going anywhere. Jesus has me for life, and I love doing nothing more than being in his family and serving him. And I'll breathe my last breath when I'm done, when I'm dead. In verse 19 to 23, we see even the animals get set apart. Verse 19 says, all the firstborn males that are born of your herd and flock you shall dedicate to the Lord your God. You shall do no work with the firstborn of your herd, and nor shear the firstborn of your flock. You will eat it, you and your household, before the Lord your God, year by year, at the place the Lord will choose. This is where the Passover will come from later on. And the firstborn represents God's only son, his only begotten. There can be only one firstborn. And you see, God, when he gave us his firstborn, he gave us all he had in Jesus. He didn't just give us a piece of what he had. He gave us all. You know, there's an old joke that says that the chicken contributes to your breakfast, but the pig, he's all in. In other words, bacon, that's a point of no return. On verse 21, we're told that the Levite was to pour out all of the blood of this sacrifice. You see, when Jesus wanted you, he gave his all. He was committed to you. And it's interesting that we have the picture of that commitment right after the commitment picture of servants is discussed. God is a little bit like my football coach. My football coach used to tell us that I'll never require anything of you that I've not done myself. And we would remember that when we were doing 100 Green Bays and kids were dropping on the floor and crying. But what he didn't tell us was he had been to boot camp. He had been in the military. And we could never outperform or outgive him. You can't outgive or outperform God either. No matter how committed you are to him, he's way more committed to you. Read Deuteronomy chapter 15 today. And as you do, remember how much God is committed to you.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.